Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, July 4th. Happy Saturday. Happy 4th of July. Happy 250th year since we signed the Declaration of Independence as a nation. What are you planning to do today? Do you have any fun plans in store? Are you a fireworks lover? I'd love to hear. Text me, call me, send me a firework in the sky. I'm just kidding you. I'm so glad you have joined me to read God's Word today. We're continuing on in the book of Exodus. Today we're going to hear about three of the plagues in Exodus chapter 8. Then, as is our rhythm, we're going to go over to the Proverbs and ask the Lord to continue to give us a heart of wisdom. Because we're only reading snippets from day to day, we are going to miss the first plague, which is water turned to blood in Exodus chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. Today in Exodus chapter 8, we're going to read just like verses 1 and 2, 16 and 17, 20 through 22, and verse 32, and this will give us an overview of the next three plagues, which are the plague of frogs, the plague of gnats, and the plague of flies. Have you ever heard that some scholars think that each of the different plagues is in response to one of the false gods in Egypt? The Nile turning to blood, perhaps, can be associated with the Egyptian deity Hapi, the god of the Nile. Now, I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but the Nile was Egypt's source of life, and it was considered to be under the control of Hapi. Well, God turns it to blood. Our God, the one true God, the Almighty God with an outstretched arm, thereby showing the Egyptians that their God Hapi is not really a god at all. Today, the plague of frogs can be seen as one that is battling Heket, the hog-headed goddess of fertility. And so what was considered a symbol of life for the people of Egypt now is going to be a nuisance, as there's going to be millions of frogs going everywhere. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's kind of neat to think about how there are many, many layers to the scripture, and sometimes we're just scratching the surface. Starting in Exodus chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'This is what the Lord says, let my people go, so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will send you a plague of frogs on your whole country.'" We're going to move over to verse 16 and 17, but in the middle there, the frogs come and they are everywhere, and Pharaoh summons Moses and Aaron and says, "Pray for God, the Lord, to take away the frogs." And so Moses does, and when Pharaoh experiences relief, he no longer has compassion on the people, and he puts them to work again and says, "Nope, you can't leave." Okay, verses 16 and 17. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground, and throughout the land of Egypt, the dust will become gnats." They did this, and when Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff and struck the dust of the ground, gnats came on people and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. Just a little side note here. I'm struggling with gnats at my house this week, and it has been so gross. I can only imagine what that plague would have been like. We're going to move to verses 20 through 22, but just a note here that the magicians told Pharaoh, "This has to be the hand of the Lord because these gnats are everywhere." In fact, they say, "This is the finger of God." But then in verse 19, it says that Pharaoh's heart was hard. Now in verse 20, the plague of flies. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh as he goes to the river and say to him, 'This is what the Lord says. Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you and your officials, on your people and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians will be full of flies. Even the ground will be covered with them. But on that day, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there, so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this land." And now we're going to move over to verse 32, but in the middle, there's this whole interchange between Moses and Pharaoh, where Pharaoh is saying, okay, I'll go let you sacrifice, but don't go far and pray for me. And Moses says, we'll pray for you, but remember, we got to go and sacrifice. And then he prays to the Lord for Pharaoh, and the flies leave. And what does Pharaoh do? Verse 32. But this time also, Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the people go. When you read this, do you just not get tense all over your body and think, oh my goodness, Moses, he's not going to let you go? But I'm also convicted of how much I'm kind of like Pharaoh when I have a concern and I pray that the Lord would help me. And then once he helps me, I hardly say thank you and I forget about him. This is something for us to ponder today. Oh Lord, help us always to be dependent upon you. When you answer our prayers, help us to be grateful and help us, Lord, not to take you for granted. All right, let's move on over to the Proverbs. We are almost to the end of the Proverbs. Today we're in chapter 24, where there are these different sayings from wise people. They're listed in the Bible as saying 20, saying 21, and so forth. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. Saying number 20, do not envy the wicked. Do not desire their company. For their heart plots violence, and their lips talk about making trouble. Saying 21, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Saying 22, the wise prevail through great power, and those who have knowledge muster their strength. Surely, you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. Saying 23, wisdom is too high for fools. In the assembly at the gate, they must not open their mouths. Saying 24, whoever plots evil will be known as a schemer. The schemes of folly are sin, and people detest a mocker. Saying 25, if you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your strength? Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering toward slaughter. If you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay everyone according to what they have done? Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. Today, as we pray, I want to focus in on three things. One, just thanking the Lord for freedom. Freedom in our country and freedom as it relates to believers, that we are saved by grace, and we are not bound in the prison of our sin any longer. I also want to pray for friends as it relates to the Proverbs, those who might be faltering or staggering, that the Lord might give them strength and help us to be a blessing. And then I want to pray for those who are on our South Africa mission trip and also traveling family and friends, that the Lord would provide them with safety and experiences that draw them closer to Himself. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, we love You. We thank You for these moments where we can fix our attention upon You. We thank You for the freedom that we enjoy here in the United States, and we thank You for the many who have given of themselves so that we can flourish. We also thank You for Jesus, our Savior, who gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we can be free, that we can be free from the penalty of death, and that we can live eternally with You. And more than that, Lord, we don't have to feel ashamed. We are robed in the very righteousness of Christ, and He forgives us as we come to Him. We thank You, Lord, for that freedom. Help us not to take it for granted. We also want to pray today for friends or family, whoever comes to mind, someone who is faltering, someone who is staggering about. Lord, help us to be there. And by Your grace, would You pursue them? Would You comfort them? Would You guide them? We also want to pray for the South Africa mission team through the student ministry, for Your protection upon them, for good relational time as a team, for deep conversations that bust through just the surface level, and for ministry that helps Living Hope International. We pray for safety as they travel around and when they come back to us on the 12th and the 13th. Also pray for many who are traveling this summer. Lord, would You provide us and our families with traveling mercies. We lift up to You those in our congregation who are hurting, who are sick, who are recuperating, who are in need of a touch from You. We thank You, Lord, that You neither leave us nor abandon us, that You are always present and You hear our prayers. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.